Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Wayne Hiz, one half of His and Hers podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday and Sunday for the latest up-to-date content and episodes. As per usual, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Anchor. Tap in with us. Peace.
I want to talk with you.
Yes.
One of Wayne's many talents.
You know what I'm saying? Hot breath and beatboxing.
Oh, hot breath? I don't think so.
No. Definitely got to have the cool mint breath. What's up, man? How you doing, babe?
I'm good, babe. And you, babe?
Fairly well, I think.
Oh, great.
Hey, man. It's a pleasure to be back at y'all, man. His and Hers podcast.
Are you his and your name is?
Wayne, I'm his. Wayne. It's your boy Wayne his. Yes.
Vanessa Hers.
Welcome
Clearly,
back.
Clearly, we forgot to record. And
I know, I think we kind of forgot our little spiel, how it goes.
Our intro.
Right? No, it is your boy Wayne his.
And Vanessa Hers.
How are you guys? It's been a while, right?
It's been a cool minute. Oh, I believe it's about 2 months now.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Life happens, huh?
It does.
Yes.
Yes, and many of you have asked what is going on, and many of you have actually motivated us to come back.
Yes.
And make this a safe place for all of us to vent and unwind.
You know what?
What?
Without further ado, let's get straight to it.
Yes, but before we do so, I did actually see we have had a few listens. We have a few new followers, which thank you so much. We appreciate it. We have not promoted. We have not recorded. We have not done anything at all. And with even that being, like, we still get plays.
Facts.
So we appreciate you guys.
Definitely appreciate y'all, man. Not having the necessary time to dedicate to our platform. Actually, it's crazy because we will have the time and then something will come up that's more important.
Yes.
Whether it be our son, whether it be work-related, whether it be, you know, other things that occupy and demand our time. We are full-time workers, full-time employees, yes. 9 to 5. So at times, that tends to get in the way of our second passion, which is our platform. But hey, we're still here for y'all regardless of that.
I know? Do feel like everyone does relate to us when it comes to our lifestyle. And that's the reason why so many of you fuck with us and we appreciate it.
Big facts.
We're very, not only realistic, but we're your regular Joes, I guess you can say. You guys relate to us because you have a similar lifestyle. Like Wayne just mentioned, we do have our regular jobs. And besides that, of course, we try to take care of our well-being, with it being mental, with it being physical, with it being parents. So we have to take care of home. We have to come home and cook and clean and go to the grocery store and wash.
Word.
And take the kid a bath and take ourselves a bath.
Yeah.
And, you know, just your regular day in and day out things. But if I think anyone and everyone can relate to this.
Yeah, I think life happens for everybody.
It does.
Which kind of ties into the theme and the fabric of today's episode, which is expectations, managing and tempering your expectations, right?
So the first thing that I did want to touch on and really briefly, I feel, and I'm grateful for the fact that I feel like now mental health is a bit more open. Mm-hmm. People are a bit more vocal when it comes to issues that they're facing. But unfortunately, I mean, as common as it is and as open as it is, I feel like a lot of people still struggle with that.
Yeah.
It's hard to be open, on how you're feeling.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree with that. I would say also, too, that some people, it's difficult for them to make themselves vulnerable, to open themselves up, to be criticized or to know what constructive criticism looks like.
Mm-hmm.
At times, people interpret things and they misinterpret things with regard to that, on multiple or various fronts. Like, some people, somebody can say, hey, you know, you should have done it this way. And then the person will probably just sit there and look at them like, well, why am I going to do it this way when I'm accustomed to doing it this way? Some people just don't even comprehend an altering or varying perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say I'm telling you to do it this way. It's just like, this is how I do it.
Take it. Yeah.
Do with this information, which you will. Like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what worked for me.
But a lot of people take that as criticism as well.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. Some people don't know how to decipher an altering or varying view. Like, you know, I mean, shit, we're all prone to human error, and I do it at times. You know, I've been pretty much self-sufficient since I was 16 years old, so at times it is hard for me to, like, lean to someone else's perspective or apprehend to it or cling to it, because I've made almost every major decision in my life since I was 16.
So no at times way. That's
difficult for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. I actually like the fact that you're being open about it here in the podcast.
Of course.
Because let's be straightforward. It has been at times headbutting for me and you.
Yeah.
We're both alphas. We're both used to carrying our own weight. We're both used to not needing anything from anyone else. And at times it can be difficult to lean on one another without, you know, like feeling like still. And we've discussed this plenty of times out of air where it's like, I still don't need you, like, you know. And it's being just grateful for the help and being vulnerable to allowing you, or vice versa, you allowing me to help you out. It's like you're just so used to doing everything on your own, but it's like, now you have a partner, so
I think that's tough. I think it kind of goes, you can retrace that back to your roots, your origin story, the like kind of like how you grew up. And also kind of like seeing my mom be a single mom, raising six kids on her own. So kind of like seeing her no nonsense, no excuse attitude. Like, I'm gonna figure out a way. I think I kind of inherited that. So like having a job, a full-time job at 16, doing like heavy duty manual labor type work, really, really rough work. Like stuff that I probably never thought that I would ever do. It was just like, wow, like, whoa, like this is an introduction to like what life really looks like when, as I begin to age and become a, you know, in my later teens and like pre-adult years. So it was just like, whoa, this is real work. Okay, cool. Like, man, I'm not saying I'm gonna be doing this for the rest of my life, but this is a very nice little springboard into adulthood. You know what I mean? Like, so for me, just having those experiences, those life experiences, I think that kind of like equipped me for what was to come. Eventually moving on, you know, finishing high school, getting back in high school after I had that job, because I actually dropped out. A lot of people don't know that about me as well. I did 2.5 years of public high school before I dropped out. Went to go live with my dad, got in, checked myself back into private school. Then I went on to college where I was like really self-sufficient. I'm paying my own tuition. I'm paying my own room and board. I'm paying for my own books, my supplies. I'm paying for miscellaneous items like body wash, soap. You know, I had to keep my refrigerator stocked. And I'm a college student, you know, having to do all this by myself in a whole nother state, you know? So I had never ventured out outside of California, aside from the fact that when my mom remarried when I was 6 years old, I went to see her and visit her in New Orleans where she was living at the time. And I was there. So outside of that, though, and just going back to college and being in Indiana for like almost 2.5 years, like by myself, I like literally, that's kind of like where I really was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like this is, it's literally on me. Like I could call back and, you know, to some of my friends, parents and people that I'm like kind of like got in good graces with throughout my duration of being at the school and the church that I attended, because I gained up a lot of favor with a lot of people. A lot of people wanted to see me win, because they knew my origin story. My parents didn't really support me going to the church or the school like that. So, you know, they kind of rooted for me. Like, oh, we champion the token. Sorry. sorry if anybody feels like, I don't mean that like in any negative connotation, but I was literally the token. I was one of 3 blacks in my entire school. But I was the only one that played sports and, you know, and excelled in sports. And also in the classroom, I had a 3.6 grade point average. So it was like, oh, wow. Like, if he could do it, everybody can do it. You know what I mean? And I know that I didn't have my upbringing being there. Like, I actually went into it with no expectations. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just crazy how things work themselves out. Because, like, I had no expectation at all going to that school, going to that church, going to college, going to a Bible college for 2.5 years. I had no expectations on any of it. So that just goes to show that at times, whatever your expectations is, you should probably temper it, because whatever you have outlined for yourself, it's probably going to go in a completely different trajectory. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of times when you're in it, and I tell you this often, I tell you this a lot, but at times it's hard for us to separate the two. It's hard to see yourself in whatever circumstances you have allotted for yourself, but then it's also difficult for you to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which it was for me. Like, it was very, very difficult to just know that, okay, whatever, all that I'm doing is preparing me for better. Like, you know, me getting up at 6 a.m. to study, to go register for courses, go to class, then go work a full-time job, do my homework, come back, shower, make sure I'm, you know, make sure I have everything ready for school the next day. Like, and
not one hand.
You know what I mean? Yeah, helping not thinking like, damn, like I'm doing all of this. It just became routine, you know? Yeah,
and it's so tough.
So like, but you know, like when you're in it, you don't think like, oh man, I'm setting myself up for a glorious future one day. Mm-hmm. You just think like, oh, this is a part of my routine. This is kind of what my life has been and looked like for the last 2.5, 3, 4 years. Clearly, it's kind of gotten me to where I am now, so maybe I should continue down this trend and down this path, you know, because it may set me up for better. You hope that.
Yeah.
You hope, at least you hope. You're not, you know, you never know. It's never a forthright decision thinking like, oh, man, what I'm doing is going to set me up. Like, you hope that, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I hope. Coming from where I come from, that's kind of like all I had for real, like, was just the hope that whatever it is that I'm doing, it's setting me up for a brighter future. I often hope that, I often imagine it, honestly. And I think that's like where I am today. Like, even jobs that I've had, companies that I've worked for, I've went in there kind of like with that same mentality, you know? Like, oh man, whatever I'm doing, whatever contribution I'm putting forth, it's with the thought and hope in mind that I'm setting myself up for a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What's that look like for you? I know I was kind of like talking a lot.
I see that you took over, but it's okay. We're rolling turns here.
My bad. Go for it.
I was going to mention to you, I feel like it's very difficult. And I don't think that we realize until we sit down and pod or we sit down and talk, because me and you do talk a lot after work and how was your day and, you know, the bullshit that we deal with in and out of both work and life. Yes, you know, it's a lot. But I feel like not only are we both fighting past traumas that we didn't even realize were traumas.
Yeah.
And but we're trying to break cycles. Like, that's great that you admire your mom and, you know, like, of course you see her as she did the best job ever. But we're not trying to raise our kids like that. You know, and as much as our moms did the best job that they could, to me, when I look back, it's like, damn, I really don't want that. And I'll dive into that, because you did ask me, well, what about me?
Yeah.
I think that's where my I don't need anyone attitude, I got this. It's like, I had a mom, I've had my dad in my life my whole life, but my mom's pulled a weight, meaning my dad's been there for every single, like, I guess you can say major part, like part of my life, or you can even say he's always been a very active dad.
Yeah.
But on, I've always told you this, to me it's huge on sick days, on bad days, who's a person and who's a parent that's seeing everything day in and out. And that's the parents that we're trying to be. And the same thing with your parents. You did a lot of things solo.
Yeah.
Which I don't think you would want that for Lorenzo at all. Or even like for Mia, you know? And the same thing with me. Like, I had a mom that was very like, I'm going to make it happen on my own, however I can. And she did, you know, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, I never even knew I was poor. Like shit happened. We still got McDonald's. We still got Jordans. I did not feel the poverty. Like, at times I think I didn't put too much focus into the things other kids had that I didn't. Like a home, you know, like we lived in a back house and we lived in apartments, and I never realized that. And I think those are things that we're still fighting through, because even though we are grateful for what we have, we're always trying to do better.
Of course.
Which is, I think, a good and a bad thing.
Yeah.
We don't sit and are grateful for what we have and where we're at. We're always like looking forward to better, right?
Right.
And not realizing how blessed we are right now at this moment.
Yeah. And at times, I think we see, I think we get a glimpse of that, like a clearer picture of that when we travel. Like when you go to different places, you see like the living conditions that people subject themselves to, you know, whether fortunate or unfortunately, it's like wow, like these are your living conditions. This is crazy, you know what I'm saying? And you begin to kind of like assess your own issues and your own what we deem as problems, and it's just like, man, like the things that we classify as problems, these people don't even have electricity, running water, and in some cases, like they don't even have clothes or enough money to like put food on the table.
It's actual real problems. Like, yeah. We're upset over a pair of shoes that we couldn't get, yeah. or a concert that we wanted to go to, yeah. And you know, and it's like, just, really? How stupid is that?
The cost of living where we live, like, yeah. Wanting more space. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things, like, these are, and we're not even rich, but these are problems, like these are what we classify as problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just, when you kind of start to really assess and get to the root cause of what these things are and what, you know, what they look like for other people. And then you know, because we're creatures of habit, we're human beings, it's in our nature to compare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And I think we've mentioned this so much, how with the internet, it's very constant that you're reminded, yeah. of the things that others have.
Yeah, social media is a big reminder of that.
I'm sure a lot of people see our social page as well, and they're like, fuck, these people are always spending like crazy. And, you know, like, we do spend and we do splurge, like, for example, and let me put that out there. Our Disney pass.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're not fucking rich at all. We're not even halfway there. We're actually very poor. But it's something that we want to splurge on.
Yeah.
It's something we want to make the memories. It's something that it's worth it to us. So why not pinch out of this money or,
yeah.
you know, limit ourselves with other spendings when we can enjoy having what we want?
I get the whole thing, and that's a whole nother conversation, but I'll briefly touch on that real quick. I understand the financial literacy aspect of saving for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like our grandparents are probably that whole era, they were probably the ones who used to save a lot. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just think about like your grandparents or your great grandparents. I'm sure that was passed down to them. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, make sure you save for a rainy day. Make sure you buy a house, you know, buy land, buy something, you know, that's going to appreciate as opposed to depreciating, you know, because they mm-hmm. say as soon as you drive a car off the lot, what does it do? It depreciates,
yeah.
you know, the first time, boom. Mm-hmm. Like the things that, like now that I'm older, I do look back at a lot of the things that I purchased, and like, I used to like really, really put a lot of emphasis in stock and valuing, and just like, damn, I'm just like, yo, this is crazy, because like, I expected to get all the oohs and the ahs and oh, yo, you know what I mean? Like, yo, you got that. Oh, you got this. You got a G-Shock. Like, you got Jordans. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you expect to get, like, all this love and all this praise, but then, like, can't take that with you.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, now, you know, being that I'm going to be hitting a milestone birthday, I almost told y'all my age. most of y'all know my age, but now that I'm about to hit this milestone in a few coming months, like, I think about that. I think about setting up my kids with different expectations than what I grew up with. You know what I mean? I want to know, and I want to be able to provide and give them the life that I never had. You know what I mean? And that's not something that I take lightly. Like, I don't want my kids to want for anything. And I don't want my kids to have to ask anybody other than their parents for anything. You know what I mean? I want my kids to be able to come and give, and I want to be able to have the opportunity to tell them yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not from the standpoint of just like no, because I ain't got it.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of okay, I have it. Let me make the determination if I want to get that for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, nine times out of ten, I'm gonna get it for my kids because like I'm the soft dad. I'm the soft parent. So.
Oh, you know, he definitely is. If you guys wanted to know our role, there it is.
My son and daughter, they pretty much can get anything out of me, you know? Very seldom do I tell them no. Very, you know, within reason, though. You know?
Oh, and there's my a other great son appearance.
Too. My other son, too, you know? Whenever he say, hey, I want Jody. The science diet, food, cool. You want these doggy treats?
It's been a minute, guys, so please excuse the pooch.
Nah, but yeah.
I feel like it's so crazy because we're always learning, right? And we're always growing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think certain milestones, as you called it, are the ones that make you really reflect.
yeah,
on those things, right?
Yes, yes.
So for me, it was, of course, becoming a parent.
Okay.
I think, not that I thought being a mom was going to be a piece of cake,
mm-hmm.
But I did not think it was like this. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot to balance. Mm-hmm. You're not only learning yourself on how to deal with a lot of things, but this is the things that you're teaching now. This yeah. little person that admires you and is looking at you all the time.
Yeah.
By the way, all the time. My kid is my shadow.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. So it's like, I just want him not only to, like you said, look up to me, but to be able to lean on me.
Absolutely.
And I feel like me, more than financial, I want him to emotionally always feel the support.
Yeah.
Like, I want him to feel like he can always come to me.
Yeah.
And I think with my mom, I had that great relationship where she is my best friend. This isn't no social media shit, no fake, you know, like, mm-hmm. I will speak to that woman every day on the phone.
Right.
And luckily enough, she is the one that helps us with Lorenzo, which we've mentioned a lot.
Right.
But I have that great communication and that friendship when, even if it's something bad that needs to be said, it's going to be said. Like, when I've been fucking up, or when I've been doing like crazy, or I'm not being careful, or I'm not really, like, I'm in the wrong, mm-hmm. she will call me out on shit.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I want with Lorenzo now.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like expectations, it's like, oh, it should be a piece of cake, yeah, just because my mom was so great. But reality is like, nah, this shit's a lot of work. And yeah, we have to literally fight our inner demons at a lot of times.
Yeah.
When you're a parent, man. Like, these kids will test you.
Nah, that's real. I kind of wanted to shift gears a little bit. I had a question for you. Why do you feel that certain friendships, like, there are certain friendships that you've sustained over the years, that they almost feel a certain level of expectation that you should adhere to? Like, why do you feel like certain friends almost feels like, well, you can't be cool with certain people because I'm not cool with them anymore? Or they expect you to show up for them in a way that they may not always show up for you consistently.
Oh my God, I'm like the worst person to talk about friendships. Let's be honest. I switch friends like fucking crazy. What? I have my three solid friends.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I don't really feel like I will not stay the same,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to friends and friendships and me growing. Like, I feel like I go through cycles. I feel like if I go through phases, I guess you mm-hmm. can say. Like, I've had my party friends that I partied really, really hard with. And then I had my other friends that I was, like, growing with, kind of getting out of the party zone with. And now I just have, like, you know, like,
is that just like a characteristic of being a Gemini? Is that you?
I won't say it as a Gemini because I don't know, like, but me myself, I've gone through a lot of phases of friendships, and I'm just not gonna deal with bullshit. Like, if I feel like you need to give the type of friendship that I'm gonna give you,
mm-hmm.
and the only people that have been solid enough are my few friends.
Would you say that you place expectations upon the friendships that you've cultivated with certain people, or no?
I feel like a lot of times, and you know what's crazy? Right before becoming a mom, I stopped being the friend that reached out, right? Mm. Like, I literally stopped, and I convinced myself, and it was hard, because I was the type of friend that even on holidays, I would go out of my way, text people. For certain days, I would always text people. Like, I was always a friend, like, looking out, mm-hmm. reaching out to you. And I promise you, the day that I stopped doing that, the friendship stopped. So it's like, how am I expect for you to be a friend that's going to go 50-50. Any relationship that I'm in, friendship, all the relationships, I expect that. And if you can't give me that, then I got to drop it.
So there's a level of expectation that you do expect, yeah, in friendships.
Yeah, I don't expect you to be fucking like an amazing friend, you know,
mm-hmm.
flip backwards for me, but at least do your part.
No twirl?
Huh?
No twirl, not even a twirl?
No, only my day ones do that, you know?
No, I asked that question because I feel like, I don't know what it is about this climate today. Maybe if I'm getting older, maybe there's something in the air. I don't know if it's just the fabric of people, different era. But I feel like there's a certain expectation on friendship that people seemingly want to put on other people that they won't otherwise do themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, they won't follow through or fulfill the same expectations, you know what I'm saying, that people will put on them. And I don't understand, for the life of me, I don't understand why that is. It's like people will put these untapped, unplaced, misinformed expectations on their friends and expect for them to be like, people can't, like, people spread themselves thin. People have a lot of different things. We just kind of touched on it and highlighted it. That have, you know, that have, they have so many different things and they're being pulled in so many different directions, right? Like, they have family, they have jobs, they run a business. Like, you know, the fact that two of my best friends, probably my most successful friends, I was able to have dinner with them recently. Like, I don't take that lightly because they both have families. Mm-hmm. They both run, you know, are big figureheads within their companies that they run. They both have kids, you know what I'm saying? And they both are in relationships. So it's just crazy, like, that they actually set aside the time to have dinner with. You know, we all had dinner mm-hmm. and was able to catch up. But, like, I don't expect them to be able to do that all the time.
No, or you don't expect to talk to them on a daily basis either.
Yeah.
Because everyone's so busy. And right. you understand that.
Right.
But, you know, like, when you do hang out with them and when you do see them, it's home. Like, yeah. that's it. Nothing's yeah. changed.
Right. And it's just crazy that, like, your friends, your real friends that, like, you probably don't even talk to every day. So that's crazy, right? Because, like, I actually got to see three of my best friends, like, spend time with them and kick it with them within, like, well, four of them, actually, within, like, a week and a half span.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy because, like you said, it just,
you just
pick
them.
You pick up like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there was no expectations.
No.
You know, pull up, hey, we boom, boom, we're going to go hoop here, man. We're going to go to our old food spot. We're going to go catch up. We're going to watch the Jake Paul fight. Oh, boom. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah. Like, and it was just like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But no expectations whatsoever. We didn't plan anything. We literally made a text and a phone call, and then something manifested after that.
But, you know, those are the type of friends that will never either throw it in your face. Mm-hmm. They're never going to make it, like, they're never going to make it personal when things don't happen.
Right.
Like I had told you, even for my birthday, like, we went to Puerto Rico. This is the first year ever that I did not have a birthday dinner with my friends.
Yeah.
And that happened because we had the trip, and when we came back, I got an ear infection.
Yeah.
And I was man down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about that. But I've never had an ear infection. That was the worst shit ever. I couldn't hear. It was bad. And people, I don't think, even believed me. You know? Some people that reached out for dinner and stuff. Like, I had pending 3 birthday dinners. All 3 of them had to cancel. And I literally told my best friends, like, this is the first year that we don't celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And even after that, one of my best friends had a baby. And it took me 2 months to meet her baby because the baby was sick. Then my friend was sick. And then Lorenzo was sick. And it's like, yeah. Now we have to protect our babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if her baby's sick, she doesn't want her baby near my baby.
Yeah.
I don't want my baby near her baby. You know, so it was just a bunch of shit. When I literally got to meet my niece, my best friend was not even throwing it in my face.
Mm.
And keep in mind, I went to a concert. I went to Puerto Rico. I came back. And in my stories, she's always my number one fan.
Yeah.
Like, does shit change? You know? And I told you. And I told her, I feel so guilty that I'm meeting your baby at 2 months.
Yeah.
And she said, it happens. Like, life happens. Now you understand, right? And she's literally like, now you're a mom. You get it, right?
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you have so much going on. Like, it's okay. You know? And not once did she make me feel guilty. Not once was she weird. Or not once was she like, fuck this bitch. Or not once was she like, not texting me. It was never the cold shoulder. It was like, let's try and replan it. Okay.
Yeah.
In another week. And then she would tell me like, hey, hun, something came up. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm going to have to reschedule. And literally for 2 months, that was us back and forth. Like, something came up for her, something came up for me, something came up for her. We finally met up and I told her, damn, it honestly feels so good to have a friend like that. Like, just understanding, no need to explain, no fucking weird feelings, no weird vibes. Like, it was dope.
Right.
Literally breakfast with my wild child and her baby.
Dang.
you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, it's not like, no, oh, hey, nice, finally caught up with you.
Oh, you finally had time? Yeah. No stupid remarks, no smart-ass comments. Just like, damn, I've missed you. And literally, when we left, basic as IHOP, I was like, man, I needed you. And she was like, yeah, me too.
That's dope.
That's how friendship should be. And I think that's expectations, dope. You expect everyone to be like that. Is it like that? The fuck not?
Nah, it's not. It's and it's crazy, too, because, like, when you hang out with you, like, I mean, look, I'm sorry to say, man, people may disagree with me, but people, whether you realize it or not, subconsciously, I don't think this is a conscious decision that people do this, but subconsciously, I think people categorize their friends, whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got
friends. You can say what you want to say.
Yeah, you got them broken down into tiers. Like, you know, like the first tier is the group of friends that you, if anything were to happen, you would stop what you're doing. They're the only friends that can get you out of your bed in the middle of the night. That's tier one. Sure. Mm-hmm. Tier two, you might think about it. You know what I mean? You might
You're still up there, but...
You look at the text, you're going to... You know, you might haggle with yourself a little bit. Do I really want to get up? All right, I'm going to get up. Tier three, you know you're not getting up. And if they ask you for money, if they need a favor, it's a maybe. It's not a, always a for sure. You're going to think twice about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tier four, out the door. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
You just... My social media friend.
Done. Bingo. Exactly. Yeah. Like,
we'll keep planning to see each other. Yeah, we never are.
And you never follow through. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pull up. Remember, come to the party. Remember? I just talked to him. You don't pull up. Oh, and you don't pull up.
And shout out to you guys as well that support the podcast.
Facts.
Because I have a lot of those friends
You know?
That I have not seen forever and still supportive. And we appreciate you.
Yeah. And like when you hang with your tier one friends, it just kind of like reaffirms what you already knew.
It is so... I always tell you, and I think even that Saturday that I came back from hanging out with my friend, I told you, like, my heart feels like light. You know, when you hang with those people, and I think you felt the same way.
Yeah.
Literally, when you see those people, and they're just telling you, like, no, you're doing great. Like, oh, you got this. Like, anything that you're saying, it's like, go.
Yeah.
Like, backbone, like, support, like, that positive friend. And literally, honestly, it's hard, I think, to let go of the things that aren't for you. But that's something we really got to focus on. Like, if that friendship is not for you, and your friend is not your real friend, and they're talking shit behind your back, because I know a lot of those too.
Yeah.
It's like, are they really your friend?
That,
you know?
Word. And that's why, me personally, I know this, I know everybody doesn't think like this, but that's why one of the reasons I can't casually hang out with people I don't know.
And you always say that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just cannot. Like, some people can do it. Some people would just be like, oh, yeah, yeah, such and such gonna pull up. I'm like, oh,
I
word?
I entertained it a lot.
I'm like,
I'm
good, bro. Like, I'd remove myself. You know what I'm saying? If I feel like there's going to be like underlying issues, or maybe there was some unpleasantries exchanged in the past, I just would rather not, you know what I'm saying? But don't get it twisted either. Like, if it comes down to the point to where I have to be around said individual and there's needs to be like an understanding, I'm willing to have the conversation. I'd rather avoid confrontation at all costs, but I'm not the type of individual that's going to duck smoke. Like, you know,
and you definitely don't want to be uncomfortable somewhere.
Yeah, I'm willing to have a conversation with anybody. And I just feel like certain people, you know, that's always going to be in the air whenever there's underlying issues with certain people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm still learning how to deal with that.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's shift a little bit.
Switch.
I want to talk about, because, I mean, we have to, we're a relationship podcast, right?
Bring it.
Why do you think that people cannot temper or manage their expectations as it relates to dating?
I think it's difficult. I'm gonna give you my feedback or how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Are we realistic when we put these expectations?
It varies.
So, for example, in a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say I expect you to sweep me off my feet.
Right.
Right? Like, right. I expect the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I expect the bomb dick in the morning.
Right.
And my strong coffee.
Right.
And what am I doing for you?
Right. Word.
You know, a lot of times women were very quick to say, like, well, I expect this.
Right.
I want the princess treatment.
Right.
I want you to treat me like a queen.
Right.
And what the fuck are we treating men like?
right.
Patas, you know, shit. Like fucking trash.
Facts, basura.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
But,
you know,
expect, you know, treat me like a princess.
Yeah, you know, just keep treating me good and I'll treat you moderately good depending on how you treat me. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it goes.
So when it comes to relationship expectations, I feel like they're very unrealistic. Very much so. And I think it takes a lot for us to realize that.
Elaborate. You know? Stay right there. Elaborate as to why you feel like it takes a lot. I like what you just said.
It does. I feel like we don't realize that at times it's going to be 70-30. At times it might be 20-80, you know? Yeah. Wow. There's days when it's tough and I might have to put on my big girl shoes and do 80% of the work, and you might be able to do the 20 for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then the next day or the next week, you might pull the 100, you know? And it's like that. And I think you realize that more as you grow and as you want a partner.
Yeah.
Because ain't shit easy, right. You know? And you want a partner that not only understands you, but that helps you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I don't feel like we even prioritize that. I don't think that's a lot of that we focus on.
We as in women. Got it. I agree with that. I love everything that you just eloquently stated. and I say that half-heartedly joking, but no.
Well, elaborate.
No, that's
as
I think,
well.
I think that's real. Like, I think, like, at times, let me word this correctly. I don't feel like women understand the plight of what men have to deal with and go through. So, and what I mean is this, I'll elaborate. So, like, you know, we go to work, we take care, we're the head of the household, we provide. Yes, we have women who are self-sufficient. They make their own money. They handle things at home. They handle things at work. You know, at times, they give off these vibes like, I don't need a man. But really, you want a man. You want to be nurtured. You want to be held.
One.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can give off all that energy, like, independent. But at the end of the day, you want to unify and be one with a man. Period. So, you know, you could fight, claw, kick, scratch till the cows come home.
It's the you know the hand movement for me. You guys should see Wayne right now. He's fighting himself, clawing.
You know? You could do all that until the cows come home. But the fact remains is that, you know, you want your man. And see, what a lot of people don't understand is if one party in the relationship is the strong party, the other one, it's not to say that, you know, because like you said, you alluded to the fact that we're both alphas in our relationship. At times, you allow me to take the lead. At times, I allow you to take the lead. But at no time does one ever feel like they're above the other. There's no inferiority here in this relationship.
But see, how much does it take and how long has it took? And we've had issues about this because it's like, I'm not going to bend. What the fuck? Like, no. This is 50-50.
But that comes
and
with,
guess what?
That comes with time and repetition.
Yes, but it's not 50-50. And we've said this multiple times.
No.
Don't you want to give your 100 and for me to give my 100?
Yeah.
And sometimes, hey, if we're 110, fucking great, you know?
Yeah.
If house is clean, dishes are washed, laundry's done, baby's taken care of, lunches are packed, and we're just chilling and we can focus more on us, just us, and not all our 1,000 things we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great? To have a partner that's going to put in the work?
It is great. But again,
instead of clawing and rah, rah, like you said earlier.
Yeah, it is great. But you just said it right there. I think that's key, is to have a partner that's willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Far too often, they're one party or both parties in a quote-unquote relationship that don't want to do the work.
But what have I told you in the past that us women, including myself,
mm-hmm.
at times do have a fairy tale image and believe in thought in our head. And half of the time, we don't know what the fuck it is.
Well, to get to the fairy tale, you still have to put in the work.
Yeah, but we don't think that. We don't expect that.
Yeah, no, you can't get to this magical, beautiful, missful, fucking blissful place where the milk and honey are flowing and have all these stars aligning in your mind and paint this immaculate-ass portrait without any work being done.
Well, guess what, Wayne? I didn't know that.
You know what I mean?
And a lot of women, I'm sure, don't.
No, and a lot don't. And that's what I think that's why more conversations like this need to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not willing to put in the work, how can you spark anything magical? Like, you just expect for you to snap your fingers and boom, bam. Okay, let's see. Let's start. Six pack, big dick. Fucking pays all the bills, does everything, takes me on trips, feeds me, fucks me. Great. You know what I'm saying? Takes care of everything.
Can I communicate? Nope. Can I say anything? Nope.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, okay, like, you know?
Controlling everything like that you don't want.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm a probably, you know, I like to shake shit up, you know, me personally. So I'm gonna probably get killed for this, but that's okay. I'm a big boy.
By me?
Put on my big boy pants. I'm saying from people who listen to this. Not you per se. Maybe you too. But I feel...
<He's brave.
laughs> Okay. I feel like women, whether they realize this or not, I feel like as long as a man gets close to checking off 7 out of the 10 boxes on their checklist, I feel like they should take the win at that time,
it's
bro.
A win?
Take the win.
What if it's 3 big boxes, you know?
I mean, hey, that's different. That maybe that's something that you can massage later. That's something that's a conversation to be had. That's something that maybe with repetition, you can get him to check off those remaining 3 boxes. He might not have the 7 check right away.
Yeah.
Might have 6, might have 4, might have 5, you know?
Yeah.
The other 5 might come later. But I think far too often, they want the 10 off jump from rip. They want all 10 checked. All 10
I know
boxes.
That we've had this conversation before, and we always say, like, we don't look at ourselves in the mirror. So it's like, well, we're wanting these 10 boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we feeling the 10 boxes as well?
Most people don't. Most people don't look at themselves in the mirror to realize what
you think you're doing. The 10.
Exactly.
What?
Most people think that. If you were to ask a lot of people, and that's a hard conversation to be had, though.
Mm-hmm.
When you got...
Sometimes life has it with you. It's not even...
you don't like... that's what I don't understand. When you don't like what's staring directly back at you in that mirror, how could you then place those expectations on the shoulders of somebody else when you can't even provide what you're asking of that person?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't understand in my Sagittarius brain. I don't understand how people think that.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't do whatever you're asking of this individual, if you cannot provide it for yourself, how can you then expect them to just come sweep you off your feet and just poof, change everything, bam? And you can't even do it
you
for yourself,
like
though.
You, yeah.
That's what I don't understand about people. Like, you can't put these miswarranted expectations on people who did not ask for them to be placed on them. And look, if you're in a relationship, if you're working on a relationship, be in a relationship. Know your partner. Talk to your partner. Gain understanding.
Understand your partner. Number one.
Gain understanding. Again, mm-hmm. Gain understanding.
And once again, gain understanding.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I feel like that's the main issue.
Yeah, ask questions. Tap in with your partner. That's the problem.
And
so
it's
going to
be shit you don't like sometimes.
Yeah, so many people don't want to do the work. They don't want to ask they don't want to ask uncomfortable questions. That's the only way, you know, it's crazy, man. Like, that's the only way you have real dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. We would be so better off, far better off as a country if we just had unhealthy conversations as a country.
Mm-hmm.
You know how better off we would be as people? How many underlying issues, whether it be race, creed,
like the sensitive cord and everyone, it's personal and everything.
Everybody's super desensitized to everything, hypersensitive to everything.
Half of the shit ain't even got to do with you. No. Like, what? Why are you taking this so personal?
Yeah.
Why are you so offended by this? Like, it has shit to do with you.
And that's what I mean about tempering and managing expectations. People expect to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they expect to be offended. Like, oh my God, how could you say such a thing? Well, actually, I didn't think that what I was saying.
If you really wanted to hear what I was thinking.
It's crazy, man. Like, you know? But no, as it relates to dating, I feel like a lot of people got to swallow their pride,
mm-hmm.
Put your pride to the side. And if you really want to shit to work, like, you know, when you get to the root cause of, like, certain arguments, what is it really about? Like, do you really want to be with this person? Do you really want to work shit out with the person? Because if not, it's like, what are y'all doing? Like, seriously. Because literally, it's a waste of time, effort, energy, money, in most cases. Like, what's going on?
Is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Like, you really have to put that... You really have to answer that question.
Yeah.
When it comes to any type of disagreement, any type of argument. Even if you're feeling some type of way, and I know that's happened, like, with us as well. And we're quick to just talk it out because it is very draining. And not only that, the longer that you go with whatever issue is going on in your head, a lot of times, that's not even it.
No.
It's not even an issue it's, you know, really talked about or discussed.
Yeah. And once you get past all of that, then I feel like that's where you can gain a new perspective and gain some common ground to really, really get to, you know, a different place. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, no, I feel like... expectations on all fronts, temper them, manage them, no matter what the topic is or area of discussion. Make sure you go into it with a clear conscience, ask questions for clarity to gain understanding, and, you know, on no matter what front it is, dating, friendships, relationships, at work, whatever you feel is you deem necessary, I would definitely make sure that I apply it to all those avenues of your life to make sure that everything is, you know, running smoothly and copacetic, because nobody want to be around a fucked up coworker. Nobody wants to be around a fucked up person in their relationship. I don't want lame ass friends. You know what I'm saying? Fake, inconsistent behavior. I don't want any of that.
You know what I've been more focused on? And I know that it's kind of slightly working out for me, I feel. Mm-hmm. Is being straightforward, right, and open. Even if it offends people, it's important for you to vocalize and express your feelings how you really are.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily for me, my parents always showed me and were big on me just saying how I felt, you mm-hmm. know, and a lot of times people will get offended and a lot of times people do take it personal, but it's my job to clear that up.
Yeah.
And if anything is taken the wrong way, like, hey, why, like you said, it's discussing things, it's talking things out to have an understanding and to make it clear, like, this shit is not personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at times it's me, it's my feelings, it has nothing to do with you,
right?
So that's one thing that we need to focus on, definitely. Expectations of ourselves, I think it's something that a lot of people need to invest a little more on and really dig into, you know.
I agree, man. But yeah, we just wanted to tap in with the fans.
We missed you guys.
Quick. Our, you know, our beautiful audience, give y'all a little something, feed y'all real quick. Feed our core, yes. As they say. Yeah, man, tap in with us. We're going to be dropping more frequently, of course. Apple, Spotify, radio. You can find us on those DSPs, digital streaming platforms. Hit us up on the pod page, Vanessa's personal page, my personal page.
Yes, you know we I mean? Always want to thank you guys for always tapping in, giving us your feedback. I know it's been a cool minute, but we will be back on posting about the podcast and our episodes. We love the feedback. We love the love. Keep in mind, we always say we're trying to record more and life happens.
Yeah.
So don't kill us.
Don't kill us, man. But as always, we want y'all to feel us. You know what I'm saying? It is your boy Wayne Hughes.
And Vanessa Hers.
And we're going to let my boy Al take y'all out, man. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Peace.
Bye. Someone's on the phone. 3:00 in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah. Yeah. The happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. Nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Hey. Oh, baby, love and happiness.